been digging on you, sipping on drink number two.
Tune into the all-new Inside the Cleveland Browns every Wednesday at 7 on Sports Time Ohio with a look into the lives of the Cleveland Browns players on and off the field. That's Wednesday at 7 p.m. on Sports Time Ohio. Time now for the roundtable brought to you by Blue Point Grill, number one ranked seafood restaurant, Silver Spoons Award winner every year since it has been opened down there at the corner of West 6th and St. Clair. It's Blue Point Grill. Grill with an E.com for reservations. They've got oysters, over 75,000 shucked a year. Lobster, king crab, great steaks, great service. It is the place to go for a true VIP experience and to score some points with that special someone. Blue Point Grill, that's Grill with an E.com for reservations. And joining us, thanks to Blue Point Grill, is the voice of the Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Mr. Jim Donovan. Jim, how are you today?
Good, Nathan.
Jim, obviously another tough one. The Browns have dropped four in a row. Same story, can't run, can't score, can't stop the run. And this team right now really seems to be headed in a bad direction. And a lot of the talk today centering around the quarterback position. And you got the feeling that if Johnny Manziel is unable to go, and even if he does go, that you're not going to head into 2015 feeling comfortable about anybody being your starting quarterback just yet.
Boy, I'm with you on that. And I thought that we were going to accomplish that, you know, as the season unfolded, and I thought we were going to have a couple of choices, and now you wonder what the choice is and if we have a choice with any of the current guys here. But I really did believe that we would at least come out of this year with a good chunk of wins and, you know, a very respectable season, but, a definitive decision and a direction at quarterback. And, you know, with Hoyer kind of, you know, spinning out at the end of the year, and, boy, I tell you, that the last two Sundays have been very, very troubling in watching Johnny Manziel try and play, because there's just no rhyme or reason or definition to that. It's like a fire drill. Every play that he's in there, it just doesn't seem to have any shape or any form, and it's just a convolution of, you know, missteps, and the game looks so fast for him and for them when he's in there that, you know, it's troubling.
Jim, what are the highs that you would want to see in this game against Baltimore to close out this season to give you hope into the offseason and going into next year?
Well, if Brian Hoyer plays, I guess just to see him get back and get into a rhythm. I think Matt is a real rhythm quarterback, that when he gets in a pretty good rhythm, I mean, you know, they move the ball and you can see where it's going. And the offense has some shape to it. If it was Manziel, and I don't know if it is going to be Manziel after watching him limp around the locker room yesterday, it would just be anything positive, because it's been so negative, you know, in the Cincinnati game and for the first half of the game yesterday. I mean, there are a couple of things, Matt, that are so troubling. I mean, he can't keep the team on the field. He can't get first downs.
That's a problem.
And they can't survive any kind of a negative play offensively. When they get behind the chains, you know, they're in a lot of trouble. I mean, they really are. I mean, even when they have a drive going, all of a sudden, if they take a negative play in the running game and it becomes second down at 12 or something like that, that just becomes a huge mountain for them to overcome. So I guess I would, you know, offensively, I would just like to see them get a rhythm, and I think they have a better chance of achieving that right now with Hoyer, and it would be good to see him go out in his last game of this season, and then God knows what is, you know, in front of him as far as whether it's here or somewhere else. But I'd like to see him finish it off with some rhythm, and I think if he could get that, then I think that they could become productive. Though it will be it's very difficult in there at any point playing the Ravens at M&T Bank Stadium.
Jim, you're talking about Brian Hoyer, that's what you'd like to see. You'd like to see Brian finish this thing strong. How do you think Brian does that? I mean, if the weapons aren't making the plays that we were kind of hoping they would make,
yeah.
How does Brian go in there and accomplish something like that? That's what's so confusing to me right now.
Yeah, really difficult to do. No question about it. You know, they're just with the running game being, you know, just totally non-existent right now, that makes it so much difficult. These receivers seem to be on the last legs, you know, of what seemed to be a pretty, you know, I thought kind of an uplifting year, you know, to find a kid like Gabriel, you know, to bring Hawkins in here. Miles Austin, when he was here, I thought, you know, and now the fact that he's not here seems to be a real problem for the group.
That's inevitable.
Yeah, it seems to be a real problem for the group. You know, I think he was a real friend to Hoyer, and maybe, you know, if Manziel had him, it would have helped him a great deal because he was such a professional guy that could get them first down and get them, you know, to move the sticks. It's, you know, Joe, it's a Herculean task if you can't run the ball, and it's difficult to run against the Ravens at any time. But certainly over there, and with the game meaning something to them, it's going to be tough. I would just like to see Brian turn in kind of a veteran performance, almost the way he did yesterday when he came in. It looks as though he might pull one out of the hat there, but it's going to be tough.
There were a couple of guys who stood out in Week 16 for the Browns, some young guys. I thought Pierre Desir, in his first start, made a very good accounting of himself opposite Kelvin Benjamin. And Scott Solomon, off the practice squad, Coach Pettine had mentioned to me before the game, and he came out and looked like he was, you know, the best player on our defense at times. Those two guys, at least, maybe that's some positivity that you can take from this game.
Yeah, I tell you what, he flashed on every play. I mean, I don't know, you guys would know better than me. Is that a case of fresh legs that, you know, a guy comes in and, you know, he's got a lot of gas in the tank and he really flashed all over the place? He did a very good job. I'll say this about Desir. I mean, I agree with you, Nathan. I thought he played well and he continues to play well. And I love the fact that he's a little bit, you know, he's a bigger corner. When he did get beat on a play, I'll tell you what, it took a great throw and a great catch on the other end a couple of times for them to make a play on him. Other than that, I thought he was in real good position all the time. That's been a bright spot because it didn't look like he was going to get on the field at all this year, save for maybe on special teams. And now that he's in there, that's one of the only good things I think that's come out of this whole thing in the last couple of weeks is that we've gotten a chance to see him play. And he, like the other cornerbacks that, you know, the Browns have found, a guy like Kaywan Williams, you know, he's like Williams that we're encouraged by and yet so disappointed in the other guy, Justin Gilbert, that, you know, wasn't even on the field yesterday for whatever reasons.
I was just going to ask you, when you see Desir go out and have the success that he did, you know, Kaywan was having that success. Even Robert Nelson looked good out there yesterday. Where are you on Justin Gilbert now through his rookie season? Because we didn't get a lot of chance to look at Johnny Manziel. What we saw wasn't positive. But we've had a lot of opportunities to look at Justin Gilbert, and we have not seen very much positive.
No, not when you match up what they did to pick him and where they picked him. It doesn't match up at all. Very disappointing. You know, and if he is having bad weeks in practice, even more disappointing. I mean, there just seems to be almost an education that has to take place there that, you know, not even throwing the first round label on him, but just saying, hey, you're a pro. You got to learn how to be a pro here. And you have to learn how to practice professionally and be a pro before we can really trust putting you out there and hopefully having you succeed out there. There's something missing there, something that I just didn't think was going to happen when I saw the kid walk in the day of his first press conference with his mom and dad at his side. I mean, it looked like the exciting, perfect fit that I think Mike Pettine and the others and Ray Farmer thought they had when they picked him. That is a major, major disappointment right now, the way he's played and the way – it appears to me, from what I hear, the way he's handled himself.
Jim, you talked about the disappointment of Justin Gilbert, and right now things are very cloudy in regards to Johnny Manziel. Those two gentlemen are number one draft picks this past season. We will have two again this upcoming draft. Does that leave you very skeptical on our talent evaluation and what we do strategically with those two picks?
Well, they're big. You know, they're going to be big, Matt. I mean, there's no question about them. They're, you know, and it seems like they're going to be in the middle, you know, of the round. It appears as though numerically, you know, where their records are going to land, ourselves in Buffalo, it seems like, you know, you're going to be in the teens and certainly, you know, even maybe a little bit lower with Buffalo's pick. They're huge because, you know, maybe because of what happened this year. But I have to tell you, I was, you know, I, like a lot of others, I was very much on board with what they did in the first round last year and very excited by it. And I'm not saying it's, you know, we closed the door on it, but it doesn't look good right now, and it didn't bear any kind of fruit for them. They become huge picks for them, though, that they must hit on. I mean, you take a look at some of these teams that have done very well coming out of that first round last year and what they were able to accomplish and how these players played. I mean, I take a look at, you know, watching the Raiders play against Buffalo yesterday, and you look at Khalil Mack, he's going to be a great player, and maybe they have found their quarterback in Derek Carr. I mean, you know, they're farther along than we are in that process. So that's what, you know, I don't discount it. I mean, I'm not down on the evaluation or the guys doing the evaluating, but, you know, the pressure is on because, boy, they are going to be huge picks once again that the Browns must hit on.
No, you make a great point. You look at Oakland, and Mac has been a standout, and Carr certainly looks like he could be their quarterback. You go to Minnesota, another team with two picks. Anthony Barr played very well before his season ended with an injury this week, and Teddy Bridgewater certainly looks like a franchise quarterback right there. So, yeah, it is. When you look just first round, it's big. Now, the Browns, granted, they've gotten very good production out of Joel Bitonio. He's been great.
Right.
Chris Kirksey has played well. Terrence West has played well at times, and now Pierre Desir looks like he might be a very, very much a gem in the fourth round, but you want those marquee guys to hit. I think you make a great point.
Yeah, I mean, you got to. I mean, it has to happen. And, you know, through the years, there's just been, you know, too many misses. I mean, there aren't enough Joe Thomases and Joe Haydens throughout these drafts for the Browns, and typically they've picked very high, and that's part of the reason why we are where we are all the time. But I hate to say this, but we might be, you know, we are where we are right now once again, that, you know, we go into this draft with an awful lot of pressure on it to connect on it.
Jim, let me ask you this last question here. If we get to the point offensively, would you like to see a little bit more veteran presence on the offensive side of the ball, considering we've got some younger guys, quarterback position, running back position? You know, we've got some guys other than Hawkins. Jordan's been around, but I'm not sure that he's necessarily that wily veteran. Would you like to see, instead of some younger first-round draft picks, would you like to see maybe a wily veteran, a guy that knows how to get things done, bring his influence to the offensive side of the football field?
Yeah, you know why, Joe? I mean, look at what happened to that offensive line when Alex Mack went out. I mean, you know, they've never recovered, and maybe the offense hasn't recovered either. Right. And I understand the plan that would have, you know, they would have hoped would have worked out, for instance, with the running backs. I mean, if Ben Tate had been a happier Ben Tate and a more productive Ben Tate and kind of like more of a team Ben Tate, then maybe that would have worked out, and we'd be a little bit more, we'd be farther along with West and Crowell. But then all of a sudden, when we got so young in the backfield, when Tate went and we were, you know, going to live with Crowell and West and really no veteran there, you know, you definitely see some holes in the knowledge with these kids, just in the playbook and really just how to feel and set up a run. It seems as though they miss some reads, or they just don't follow the play to the right spot. And you don't see that until you watch these other running backs really kind of carve up the Browns defensively through just thinking their way through the running play rather than just blasting their way into it. And I would like
too often, I think they get hit in the backfield.
Yeah, right. I would like to see some veteran guys in there. I really do. I think it's, you know, it's encouraging, and at times it's exciting to be young, but sometimes you're just not being as good, obviously, at the present when you're that young, and it's hard to win when you're so young in the NFL.
Certainly is. Jim, always a pleasure. Good to be with you. Happy holidays.
You too, guys. Have a great rest of your week and a very Merry Christmas.
You too, Jim.
Buddy.
Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns for the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, with us on the Roundtable, brought to you by Blue Point Grill at bluepointgrill.com for reservations on the corner of West 6th and St. Clair. Seafood, you got it. They've got it. The best in town, according to Silver Spoons Award winner. Every year they've been open. Great steaks, great service. It is the place to go on that romantic evening, ringing the new year with a wonderful meal at Blue Point Grill. That's grillwithane.com. All right. When we come back, we're going to get back to your phone calls, 216-578-0850. We know we had a lot of you lined up. Call on back, 216-578-0850. Let's talk about this Browns team after they've dropped four in a row now to the Carolina Panthers and find themselves at 7-8 on the season.